Good morning. And welcome to St. Paul's. What a beautiful sanctuary it is today with all the decorations. We see the lights on the Christmas tree. We add an extra light candle lit to the Advent wreath, which with each successive Sunday here. And in today's scripture lessons, we'll hear that the light of the world is coming. Reason to rejoice. That is our theme for today's service. Rejoice, for Jesus is coming. We'll follow the order of service as it's printed out for you in your worship folders or projected on the wall. We begin with our first anthem. Stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, Judge and King, you sent John the Baptist to proclaim the message of salvation in Christ. Come, Lord Jesus, with your grace, and help us all our days to proclaim your salvation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the scripture lessons.
As the days get shorter in this time of year, most people appreciate all the sunlight they can get. Malachi predicts Jesus coming as the Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in its wings for the Lord's people. Our first lesson is Malachi chapter 4. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. And you will go out and frolic like well-fed cats. Then you will trample on the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the hearts of the children to their parents. Or else I will come and strike the land of total destruction. This is the word of the Lord. We continue with the end.
Thank you.
During this month, people can find themselves stressed with shopping, overwhelmed with decorations, and missing loved ones. But the Lord encourages us to rejoice always as we wait for Jesus' coming. Our second lesson is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. This is the word of the Lord. Alleluia, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Alleluia. Christmas lights shine brightly in our houses and neighborhoods at this time of the year. But let us listen to John the Baptist as he testifies to the light of the world. Believe and rejoice. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten. Father, through him all things were made. For us.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our joy. Amen. God's word we consider in our sermon today is the second lesson from 1 Thessalonians 5. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Well, these 2 months, November and December, are sometimes known as the shopping season. With Black Friday and people getting ready for Christmas, a lot of transactions have been taking place, either on Amazon or online or in person at stores. But one of the things that 97% of shoppers do before they buy that new jacket or that new appliance or that phone or that Christmas present is they will look at the reviews. Reviews, that system with anywhere from 1 to 5 stars. They'll have pros and cons listed, maybe paragraphs and pictures, sometimes even videos. Many people consider it important to get a good picture of what they're going to get before they spend money on it. Now, when a product has been reviewed maybe hundreds or thousands of times, it'd be pretty unthinkable for that product to have all positives, no negatives, perfect reviews across the board. Because there's always something that goes wrong for somebody or someone who doesn't like it. Yet when Jesus comes again, he is expecting to see a perfect review on you and me. All positives, no negatives, blameless. This is why God sent John the Baptist ahead of Jesus 2,000 years ago. This is the message that Paul communicated to the Thessalonians in his 2 letters, blameless at Jesus' coming. And this is what God calls you and me to be as well. Perfect reviews, blameless at Jesus' coming. First, as we look at 1 Thessalonians 5, we'll see that this is God's will for you, but then he'll also show us that this is God's work in you. Paul, in 1 Thessalonians 5, lists off several commands in short verses. He starts by saying, rejoice always. Many people have had a hard time rejoicing in 2020. But if you think it's been challenging to rejoice in eastern Wisconsin this year, try being a Christian in Thessalonica in the early 50s AD. As you read through Acts and Paul's mission work there in Thessalonica, and you read through those 2 letters to the Thessalonians, wow, there were riots and violent mobs there. They were protesting Christianity and declaring that Christians were anti-government. Paul says earlier in 1 Thessalonians that the people in Thessalonica, the Christians there, were suffering the same kinds of things as the Christians in Judea. And over in Judea, remember, Saul went door to door looking to root out Christians and haul them away and throw them into prison. The apostles were threatened and flogged and ordered not to teach any more about Jesus. Some of the people were even stoned, like Stephen. So the same kinds of troubles and persecution were going on over in Thessalonica, and Paul says, rejoice always? Yes. Because in our weakness, God's strength shines through all the more brightly. And even in suffering, even in persecution, God is at work for our good. Paul continues, pray continually. Now, this does not mean that we have to have our hands folded and our heads bowed 24/7, even when we're driving, even when we're playing sports. No. But this does mean that God wants us to not take a long break from praying. He wants us to pray often. He wants us to pray at regular times and spontaneously, to pray in our hearts and to pray out loud. Consider how often you check the alerts on your phone each day, or how often you send texts or post on social media. To speak to God in prayer should be just as natural of an impulse for one of God's children like you and me. And why wouldn't we pray continually? We have a God who promises to listen to us and to act in our best interests. Pray continually. Also says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. No matter what's going on out around us, we are surrounded by Christ's love. We are secure in Christ's forgiveness. We are in Christ. No matter what else is going around, we have reason to give thanks. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. He says, do not quench the Spirit, or do not extinguish the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is at work among God's people, burning brightly, spreading, glowing warmly. And every time God's people read His Word or gather around His Word for worship or Bible study or share His Word with others, we could picture that as throwing another log on the fire, dumping a little fuel on the fire of the Holy Spirit's work among us and through us. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't extinguish Him. Keep making use of God's Word because He wants to be busy and active among us through it. Don't treat prophecies with contempt. The word contempt has the idea of looking down on someone or thinking little of something else. It's what we've observed in our country from one political party to another, the way they oftentimes feel about each other. Or maybe you've observed it too at sporting events where this is the way one team or fans of one team treat the fans of another team, with contempt. God's word is full of prophecies, prophecies where God speaks to us. He says, don't treat those things with contempt. Whether you understand them fully or not, whether it's what you want to hear or not, whether it's from Leviticus or Luke's gospel or one of the letters to the Thessalonians, hear that. Listen to that prophecy. Believe and obey it. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. He says, test everything. Whether that is the books you read, or if you move away from here someday and you're looking for a church to belong to somewhere else, whether it's the activities that you do with your family, the goals you have with your schooling, the way you conduct yourself at your job, the kind of language you use, or the way you spend your money, test everything. Match it up with God's word. Don't just do something because other people do it, or it's popular, or it seems to work well. Match it up with God's word and hold on to the good. Reject every kind of evil. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So here, in just 7 verses, Paul gives us 8 commands that he wants us to be busy with. He wants us to occupy ourselves with and stay active with. He uses words like always, all, entire, complete, through and through, to emphasize just how blameless we are to be at Christ's coming. Yet you and I have said, close is good enough. I'll try sometimes, probably. And sometimes we give up altogether. We look at others and say, well, as long as I'm doing better than this other person, we pick and choose from God's word what we think is important or what we might focus on. We forget to rejoice. We fail to keep Christian optimism. We give God advice instead of giving Him thanks. We go and do whatever we want or whatever seems popular instead of truly testing everything. When it comes to being blameless, we get 0 stars. God should close you and me out faster than an unwanted pop-up window. God should treat you and me like a lemon and toss us out. He should return us as defective because we are to be blameless at Jesus' coming. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. But this is also God's work in you. At Christmas time, or leading up to it, most people have a wish list. Some of the popular things on people's wish lists this year are a baby Yoda doll. I don't know if any of you are asking for that. There's a Vortex air fryer, because if you're going to eat fried food, you might as well try to be a little healthier with it. A weighted blanket. There's a self-recharging robot vacuum. Just goes around your floor and vacuums your house throughout the day. Virtual reality headset. So many different things are on people's wish lists this year. You probably have other items as well. But God has a couple items on his wish list. And Paul talks about them here to the Thessalonian Christians. Two items he talks about specifically here. He says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through." The word sanctify means to clean and keep pure and to set apart as special and nice. It's the way we treat some of our Christmas decorations each year, trying to keep them up high, keep the little hands away from them, take special care of them, put them into maybe a shrink wrap throughout the year so they stay fresh and nice, to sanctify. But God says this is his work. This is the work of none other than God himself. As Paul expressed this wish for the Thessalonians that they be sanctified through and through, this wasn't something that they could do just by trying harder, by their own willpower, by learning the right spiritual techniques to be more sanctified. This is the work of God himself. And God talks elsewhere in Scripture about how he goes about that work of sanctifying. He sanctifies us by Jesus' sacrifice. It says in Hebrews chapter 13, "And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy," that is, sanctify them, "through his own blood." God sanctified you and me through and through by Jesus' blood shed on the cross, completely and wholly and entirely set apart, cleaned and purified. God also sanctifies us by our baptism. He talks about that in Ephesians chapter 5. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, that is, sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. God also sanctifies us through and through by the gospel, by the Holy Spirit. He says here in Romans 15 that Paul proclaimed the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Blameless at Jesus' coming? You are. Sanctified through and through. God doesn't see you as a lemon. He views you as all right, completely and entirely. He has fixed all of our defects. He gives us a 5-star review. He wants to keep us and hold on to us and preserve us as his sanctified and holy people. Notice who God is as he does this. He's the God of peace. He has made perfect peace between you and me by Jesus' blood shed on the cross. This is not the God of demands and the God of beatings and the God of threats. This is the God of peace who asks you and me in thanks to him to live at peace with him, to live a holy life, to follow his commands. This is the God who works these things in us by his Spirit. God's other wish for us at this time, he says, "May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Spirit, soul, and body. This is one of the places in Scripture that mentions those three things together, spirit, soul, and body. But in general, the Scriptures really speak of human beings as consisting of two things, body and soul, or body and spirit. Here he probably lists all three of those things as a way of expressing completeness and wholeness. God cares about our bodies and our souls. He doesn't want us to neglect one or the other. He wants us to stay pure in our bodies, honor him with our bodies. He wants us to feed our souls and stay close to him in our souls and spirits through his word. And he will keep us blameless at the coming of Jesus Christ. That was one of the topics that is woven over and over throughout the letters to the Thessalonians. They were confused about when Jesus is coming. What's that going to be like? Well, let's listen to this reminder from 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5, what Jesus' coming is going to be like. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, let us encourage each other with these words. It's God's work to keep us connected, to keep us sanctified, to keep us blameless. If it were up to us, we would forget or be careless or get sleepy. But God guards us and watches over us and keeps us sanctified by his Spirit through the scriptures and through the sacrament. So we rejoice today once again as God does his work among us. So we're blameless at Jesus' coming. God's work. As you do the rest of your shopping leading up to Christmas, maybe you have a lot left, maybe you're pretty much done, it's a good thing to read those reviews, to know what you're getting into, to know what to expect as you spend your money, as you know what you're going to buy. But we certainly know what we've got with our God. The reviews have come back perfect for him. Paul's last verse here, he says, "The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." The Lord has never made a promise that he didn't keep. He was faithful to send Jesus at Christmas. He was faithful to take away the sins of the world in Jesus at the cross. He was faithful to conquer death for us as he raised Jesus again on Easter. And he will be faithful to lead you in joy and prayer and thanksgiving. He will be faithful to work in you an attitude that keeps the Spirit's fire burning, that honors God's word, that tests everything and holds on to the good and rejects evil. He will be at work among you to sanctify you through and through and to keep you blameless at Jesus' coming. This is his will for you and his work in you. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with prayer. Jesus, we are filled with joy by your coming. You are our Sun of righteousness with healing in your rays. You are our light, which gives us life. You are our holiness and our guard in every trouble. Sanctify us through and through. Keep us blameless, trusting in you and living in thanks to you until you return. Jesus, you loved the church and gave yourself up for her. We praise you for the washing with water through the word that you have given to Apollos, Shan, Lambrecht in baptism in late service today. Be with his parents, Jake and Heather. Give them strength to raise him in your truth. Use the sponsors, Kim and Allison, also Apollos' siblings, and each of us to support them in this and encourage each other in our baptisms. Heavenly Father, thank you for watching over John Martin through his heart procedure and for the successful installment of the stents this past week. Please grant him ongoing health as he serves you, the one who created him in him a clean heart by your Spirit. And in Jesus' name we join to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. And the peace of the Lord be with you always." Congregation may be seated, and those who are communing today, we invite you to come forward at the direction of the ushers. If you are visiting with us today, please take note of our announcement on close communion that's on the screen and in the bulletin. Take and eat. This is the true body of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and eat. This is your Savior's true body. Take and eat. This is your Savior's true body. Also take and drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the full and free forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is your Savior's true blood. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart at peace with God. Amen. Savior's true body. Take and eat. This is your Savior's true body. body. Also take and drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the full and free forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is your Savior's true blood. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart at peace with God. Amen. Strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart at peace with God. Amen.
Savior Jesus Christ.
This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the full and free forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is your Savior's true blood.
Thank you.
Savior's true body. Take and eat. This is your Savior's true body. Also take and drink.
Thank you.
We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.